It's David Loca here, and welcome back to My Protein's brand new podcast called The Scoop, where we do just that. We get you the scoop on the most nail-biting, intense, and controversial topics in fitness, with our expert guests providing the information to help you make your mind up on what to believe. Topics discussed in gyms, homes, pubs, and just about anywhere around the world surrounding sports, nutrition, and training. This is where you're going to get the scoop. Should we stop focusing on aesthetic goals? To discuss this, we have two brilliant guests, Tally, an intuitive exercise advocate, as well as an author and host of Train Happy book and podcast, and La Bomba, a bodybuilder who has built a career around building a natural physique. How's it going, peeps?
All good. Thanks for the thorough introduction. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, really good, thank you.
Before we get stuck into the nitty-gritty, we're going to have a little bit of fun. Our listeners can get to know you guys just a tad bit more. So we're going to do a little this or that, right? I'm going to start with Tally. Tally, you're going to kick this off with me, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Early bird or night owl?
Oh, early bird.
Curly fries or wedges?
Wedges.
Strength or endurance?
Strength.
Radio or podcast?
Podcast.
That's what I'm talking about. No toes or no fingers?
No toes.
Deadlifts or squats?
Deadlifts.
Never exercise again or never speak again?
Oh, that's a tough one for me. Never exercise again.
Personal chef or personal masseuse?
Personal masseuse.
You fought a lot on that last one.
It was the most random combinations of this or that questions ever, so.
I love it. I absolutely love it. La Bomba, you ready to rock and roll, yeah?
Let's do this.
All right. Texting or calling?
Calling.
Hot or cold holidays?
Hot.
Instagram or Twitter?
Instagram.
Scrambled or fried eggs?
Scrambled.
Mustache or beard?
Beard.
Yes. Really? Toilet paper, over or under?
Under.
That one is such a key question. All right, some solid answers there. I think that gives us a little touch of insight into you both. I see Tally was in there saying under.
No, over.
Over.
It's got to be over.
Yeah, really? See, I'm an over. See what I'm saying? It is a touchy one. I'm a over guy as well. I'm a over, really? 100%.
I'm the person
all day
that goes into the toilet, even if I'm at someone else's house, and I'll change it because it's
all
over.
It only makes sense under because of gravity. When you pull it down, the natural rotation, it makes it very easy to pull off.
Yeah, but then on the top, you've got like the less cushioned side of the paper.
Well, that's basically.
This goes, are you a scruncher or a folder?
Or a folder, yeah. Which way is it? All day, every day.
I'm a scruncher, yeah.
Oh! Oh my days, we haven't even got into the start of the talk and we're already at war.
It depends what kind of folder you want. Yeah, it depends.
It sounds painful.
I love it.
It sounds painful to me.
It sounds very messy. okay.
No comment.
Let's roll straight into it. Should we stop focusing on aesthetic goals? Tally, talk to me.
I believe so. Just so that people can have a sustainable long-term relationship with fitness. I've done both things. I've focused on aesthetic goals and focused on non-aesthetic goals. And similarly with my clients as well, I find that people who think of aesthetics as a byproduct rather than the sole focus tend to have not only a healthier and more balanced relationship with fitness, they just generally tend to be able to maintain it more in the long term. And that obviously has an effect on how they feel, the levels of fitness and health, and then also their body image as well.
La Bomba, something tells me you slightly or more than slightly disagree with that.
Disagree to a degree. I do agree on one thing, but in terms of aesthetics, I think we should definitely use aesthetics in order to reference and to put things into context based on our goals and what we're trying to achieve. And really, in terms of longevity, it's again creating the relationship where the aesthetics are part of the journey. You know, I don't think aesthetics should be the primary goal. However, they should contribute to our agenda. Otherwise, it kind of it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really make any sense. I get what she's saying in terms of, I understand what she's saying in terms of our mental state, but aesthetics itself, it's like, it's just one point of the overall things that we're looking into when it comes to fitness. So really, when we look into fitness, it's like we need to look at both the aesthetics, the mental state, and the goal itself. But with social media, that's a whole different topic.
I think when, you know, I'm trained as a personal trainer, I've been working for the last 5 years, actually almost 6 years, and I have, you know, personal, professional and experience. I see that people can make progress in the gym without a necessarily drastic effect or any change on their aesthetic. So I think aesthetics can be, like I said, a byproduct for some people who are looking to work towards certain goals. But I know that people can get faster, people can get stronger, people can, you know, build better endurance without having an aesthetic change. So I think by making it the focus, I think we're doing fitness a disservice, because for me, I just see so many people coming to fitness and going like, I'm doing it for my summer body, I'm doing it for my abs, I'm doing it to get this visible goal, which we know that for so many people, you know, looking at fitness covers of fitness magazines, those aesthetics aren't attainable for the vast majority of the population, whether that's due to their environment, their genetics, their socioeconomic status, and also the time and energy it takes to go into those physiques. Like La Bomba, I'm sure you are extremely dedicated to your craft and what you do as a sport. And I think that we're looking at people like yourself, who I would describe as like a fitness model, yeah, and we're looking at that to say like, that's what a fit person looks like. And I think that's, we should say, that's not what a fit person looks like, that's what a bodybuilding fitness model looks like. However, fit people can come in all shapes and sizes, and so we should be trying to show that fitness doesn't have a quote look, and that it's more of a physical state, because it absolutely is a physical state. I know people who have, you know, got the body fat, got the low body fat percentage, got the muscle definition. I ask them to do press-ups, they're not doing them. And yet I know people who are plus size, who can smash out all these incredible press-up combinations, plyometric press-ups, things like that, that I personally could never do. And yet we would look at them and think, you're not fitness, you're not, you know. And I think through my work and through my platform, I just get a lot of people who are kind of bored of this idea that health and fitness equates to an aesthetic, and rather actually health and fitness equates to, okay, a feeling. And I think that's what people, yeah, are really getting, okay, into. And I think, okay, we need to separate that fitness is a look, and recognize, yeah, that there are people who are going to train for their looks, because like, you're well within your rights to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But like, I think, I take it you do bodybuilding competitions, and like, that's a sport in of itself. And I think,
this is what gets interesting. I agree with what you're saying.
But the thing is, okay, based on what you're saying, we need to change how we deliver the message. So the message is not about, you know, aesthetics and saying, hey, you need to achieve this physique. Because for some people it's attainable, for some people it's not, based on their genetic limit. But the perspective which I'm coming from is, we need aesthetics in order to put things into context and in order to render the past and the future. Without aesthetics, we won't be able to tell our progression as in any given context. So think of it this way, whether you look at a Ford versus a Ferrari, most people might want a Ferrari. And people, when they look at a Ferrari, they're like, okay, you know, okay, it costs more. But this, in order to attain that kind of car, you need to put in the work, you need to attain the funds to buy that car. But if you want a Ford, it's like, again, it's more convenient, you can buy it within your means. So when it comes to bodybuilding, it's like, okay, we understand in terms of aesthetics, this is the limit of what aesthetics can be achieved. However, this is not tailored for everyone. So I feel like once when we separate that, people will begin to understand, you know, more about ourselves rather than the very specific things that are promoted on the media. So a physique like mine, I don't preach about people building a physique like mine. I teach you the process, the step-by-step of how to achieve a physique like that. what I do very vividly, or what I do in terms of transparency, is I show every step of the journey. So I'm not saying that, okay, if you do exactly what I do, you're going to look like me. No, you're going to look like the best version of yourself. So the goal here is to get people in the mindset where they believe that, you know, they're working towards their best version of themselves. It's, you know, I feel like aesthetics are used as a way to justify, usually, most of the time, people's insecurities. Again, this might be painful for some people, but people's laziness to a degree to say, okay, because this thing is so superior or it's very aesthetic, there's no way I can achieve that. Therefore, I should aim a little bit lower. We know in life, you know, you need to aim as high as you can in order to, you know, to your based on your goal to have a more fulfilling life. So the goal is not aesthetics. The goal is not the person that you see in the magazine. That's not the goal. It's the process and the principles that they've applied and taught you.
All right. Listen, I hear that on both sides. I see there's a place where you guys are coming together in the area of agreement, but there's some area of difference. The question I'm going to ask and throw out is, what if, like, I don't care about fitness, so to speak, and all I care about is the image, is to look that way. Like, is that, what's wrong with that? Like, what's wrong with me being somebody who's like, you know what? I like a Krispy Kreme 3 or 4 times a week. I like a donut, and I like, you know what I mean, a fried chicken every now and then. Well, when I say every now and then, I mean more often than the regular person. What's wrong with, like, my motivation being to go to the gym so that I can live that way? So I might not even be interested in fitness.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's just based on what you accept as okay. So you can fully well do that, but you can't expect to do that and look like the way I do, because I don't do those things. Of course, there's, you know, there's moderation to things, but if you're very excessive with what you eat and your lifestyle in that sense, there's no way you can look at the guy in the magazine and be like, oh, I can't look like him, because, you know, because firstly, I don't eat like that. So if you're trying to use that as a goal for yourself, the chances are it's not going to work. It's very contradictory to what you're trying to do and what you're trying to achieve, but it's not a problem.
Is focusing on aesthetic goals damaging? Do you think it's damaging, Tally, from that perspective, like having that as a focus?
I think for many people, it can be damaging, and it can be a gateway to a disordered relationship with food, with exercise, and having poor body image. And I say that from personal experience. I got into bodybuilding. I was doing my training splits. I was meal prepping. I was doing all the right things. I was clean eating. I was doing exactly the kind of recommendations you recommended, La Bomba. And I found myself becoming increasingly anxious around food. I became, you know, I started categorizing foods into good and bad. And by, you know, I think by saying that donuts were bad, fried chicken was bad, and that my you know, rice, beans, you know, green beans and chicken, which I'm sure we've all consumed at some point on our fitness journeys, was good. And so I, you know, got kind of caught up in the cycle. I became anxious if I didn't get in a certain amount of workouts every week. And for me, you know, having done that for years, it became unsustainable because it started to take a toll on my relationships, on my mental health, and it took a toll on me physically as well, you know, losing my period and things like that as I dropped to a weight that wasn't that I'm not designed to be at. So I want to also just quickly discuss, David, your point about can you eat what you want and go train, and I assume you kind of meant to, in a way, to counterbalance what you were eating, so to burn it off.
Yeah, some people, some people just, like, they literally go to the gym. When I say some people, all right, let's talk about me. I had to go to the gym, yeah, because I know that, because I like to eat. You see what I'm saying? I know myself very well. I know that, look, I probably, if I was to, like, just live normal, I'd probably be quite round. I don't desire that. So yeah. I'm like, I'm not going to be the fitness, that I mean, the shape of somebody like La Bomba, because I'm not going to, like, completely disregard food. Like, I live to eat. Like, for me, food is like the passion of life. Because I love food, it's life itself. I'm like, you got to taste life. So because I love, like, food in itself, I'm like, I literally go to the gym so that I can eat. Like, literally. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the reason why I work out.
That was me. That was the, I always was like, oh, I work out because I love to eat. Like, I love food. And what's been really interesting is I really try and help people through my work, through my podcast and my book. I really try and help people to not think of exercise as purely a means to counterbalance what you eat, as not a thing to earn and burn. Because when we get That's into true. That cycle, we not only eat something and then if, imagine if you couldn't get to the gym the next day, that's when we start getting to this disordered relationship with food and exercise, where you start to like freak out. Like I remember, you know, going to eat ice cream with friends, and then the next morning I'd be like, right, I have to go and do a heavy squat session now because I'm going to use those for my quote gains. That was the mindset I was in, because that is a very common mindset within the fitness industry. And I think a lot of marketing likes to push exercise as a means to earn and burn food, as a means to keep our bodies small. Now, my work is really about pushing back against that, because I think that is making us focus on saying that fit bodies or smaller bodies are better than bigger bodies, which is slightly another argument. But I think they are tied in, this focus on aesthetics is tied in to our preference as a society on one body to the other. And, you know, saying that smaller bodies, thinner bodies are better, as you mentioned, David, yourself, like, to be in a bigger body, that is a fear of yours. That is a genuine fear. And for so many, that is a genuine fear. That was a fear of mine. And it's something I've had to work on. And it sounds intense, but the term we call that is fat phobia. So what that is it's a kind of socially created fear of being in a bigger body and receiving the treatment that those in bigger bodies do, because they get name called, we make judgments on people who gain weight, we treat people differently, we may look at people on the beach and go, oh, should they really be wearing that? All those things are forms of, you know, stigmatizing people in a certain body. So of course we use exercise to counterbalance what we eat, because we see what happens to the people who supposedly live in bigger bodies, and we are like, right, well, we've got to control that. However, like I said, I do think that really gets us stuck in this all or nothing cycle with exercise. And as I mentioned at the top of the podcast, my main interest is getting people to exercise regularly, to do the kind of movements that they enjoy. Because the other thing about having aesthetics as a goal is we do what gets the best quote results. And you and I know results mean lean, shredded, smaller, thinner, lighter. All those words associated with having that smaller body. So we're like, okay, that's what results do. So we end up exercising in a way that we might not necessarily enjoy. So for me, that was bodybuilding. I did it 4 years. And I kind of had to look back and say, right, if I'm not only exercising to control what my body looks like, how else would I like to move? And for me, that has meant expanding what I say, like my workout horizons, literally thinking outside of the box of the gym and going, what makes me feel good? For me, that's I've been having swimming lessons. I like doing spin classes. I've been to the gym this morning. I like doing weights, but I don't want to lift as heavy as I used to. And all of those things, I'm still getting the health benefits of those things.
If you love food, but you need to understand, you know, in terms of reality, it's like, okay, especially in the fitness world, it's like, you know, you're not living in the most ideal world and scenario where you can eat whatever you want and look a certain way. You know, there's things that need to be done in order for you to attain the physique that you want. There's things that need to be done in order to achieve a certain goal that you see in your head. So if you actually love food, so this is where, again, it stems from what your lifestyle choices and what you do as a person. If you love food, you need to understand, again, moderation is the key. No one's saying you can't eat the things that you're eating, but don't put into your head an image which you can try to justify yourself for not making the decisions that you need to make in order to reach that physique. So if food is the problem, then it's like, okay, how can you control your food? If you have this fear of not looking obese, then, you know, we shouldn't, there's no way in this reality that we should have obese as a problem, but we know there is, you know, health consequences to being overweight.
Yeah.
But again, the image of overweight, that is just based on, you know, that's based on the individual. You know, someone that I would class overweight is very different to what she would class as overweight. What you class as overweight is very different to what I see. But there has to be a limit to certain things, and that's life. So what I'm saying is, again, with the lifestyle itself, it's like there has to be a routine, there has to be a ritual, and there has to be an understanding of food, our relationship with food, what's health, you know, which has the health benefits that we need in order to continue living healthy and living a balanced lifestyle, which is sustainable. For me, for what I do, is very sustainable. But it just depends on the individual.
I agree with what you're saying, with both of you, both of what you're saying surrounding that, yeah. But what, and Laboma, you touched earlier on the fact that your physique is a byproduct of the fitness that you're doing, yeah, so to speak. But the if the overall goal for is fitness, right, what is wrong with the motivational factor being something else? Is if we're all getting to where we need to get to.
That's not a
as
problem.
In, so that's what I'm saying, because it's like, end of the day, okay, I might not even like, I might be somebody, because what if, and I know what you're saying as well, Talia, on that side of like, do what you enjoy. I might not enjoy anything. I might enjoy sitting down playing my computer game all day. I might not even like to step outside, to take one step. So,
the vehicle which you choose to get you there, the vehicle which you use to get you there can be different to each person. So for Talia, she likes swimming. So as a swimmer, you can attain a pretty damn good physique and you can be pretty very happy and satisfied. As a bodybuilder, you can use the vehicle to get you aesthetics based if the aesthetics is the goal to get you there through weight training. As a CrossFitter, you can use CrossFit as a vehicle to get you there, but the goal is not aesthetics. Like I said, the goal is not aesthetics. The goal, again, is to be functional, to be happy, to be comfortable. But the byproduct of it is aesthetics. However, in the world, this is where it becomes more than fitness. In the world of aesthetics, we tend as humans to be attracted naturally to the things that are more aesthetic. In architecture, I studied architecture. So the way we look at things in life, a facade is just based on our aesthetic preference. So it's pretty, I think we can all agree on a certain level that there's certain things that we decide to do on a daily, on a day-to-day basis that are driven by aesthetics. How we dress, how we look, grooming your beard, getting a haircut. It's all aesthetics, because our lives naturally have always been like that for centuries, since the days of Adam and Eve. Like, the aesthetics is like, it's part of the life, it's part of the lifestyle. So we can't look at aesthetic as a problem. It's not a problem, because we look at aesthetics every single day in our lifestyle. When you search for a home, you look at the aesthetics, you look at the lighting, you look at the overall composition. It's a collective. So aesthetics is not the issue. Aesthetics is just one part of the problem. The problem is, the problem is people's problems internally. Until we fix that internally, that's when we can figure out what the problem is, because aesthetics has never been the issue. Because we can tell everyone, you can eat like this, train like this, train like that, and the chances are you might be pretty satisfied with what you have. But don't look at someone else. Don't compare yourself to someone else. Otherwise, you're going to be very disappointed. Don't look at me as the goal for yourself, because chances are you're not going to look like me. But the chances are, if you follow those principles, you might look like, you might attain the best version of yourself. Through that process, you might figure out a way or a routine which makes it sustainable for you. And that's it. I don't disagree with what Tali's saying. She's very much right by saying that, sort of being overall a happy person, having longevity to what you're doing. But it's like, for yourself, don't put a cap on it. Don't set an image of what that looks like. I don't set an image of what I should look like. I just train. I enjoy the process. I eat a certain way. But I know that just contributes to my overall progression as an individual, for my discipline, for my commitment, and my dedication. And that's what I'm about.
I agree. I absolutely don't think anyone should compare themselves to anyone else, because I really think that's where we all manage to beat ourselves up over that and be like, oh, I could look like this. And like, that is what's, scrolling Instagram, can either be wonderful for your self-esteem if you're following the right people, or can really make you feel rubbish.
Who makes that choice?
You're right. That is absolutely. And I always say, try and empower people to mute, block, restrict, unfollow things that are maybe making them feel bad about themselves.
You don't need to be so aggressive with it. You just have to be neutral. It's all about understanding.
It's called boundaries. You're setting a boundary, and that's a healthy thing to do for your mental health. If you're finding things that are, just things that annoy you, if you're following things that are kind of making you question yourself.
How far do we push that? Because you walk out the door, you don't instantly put boundaries, because, it's a free world where people do what they want to do. It's your choice to make the choice of what you want to digest.
Your account, it is your choice, so therefore you are setting the boundaries in your spaces that you can control.
My only problem comes in when we try to implement this across the across the domain of social media. We can't put limitations. Right now, the world is going through a whole transition where people feel a certain type of way, and we're working on building systems to make it okay for certain beliefs. even though it's just an internal thing. Fair enough, is, you know, majority of people that might feel a certain way, but it's like not everything has to conform to those things because it's just purely based on you as an individual. So once we start putting filters, it's like then like where's like for myself, it's like at which point will I start having restrictions based on how I look, what I can post, and what you think about what I post? Because I get people that judge me for how I do my thing, but it's like that's my thing. It's like you shouldn't be concerned about that. And based on making the choice, you can make the choice of who you follow, you know, who you decide to learn from. But again, in terms of understanding, we need to take the time to understand how, why does that person look the way they do? Can I do that? Firstly, can you do that? Maybe, maybe not. What can I learn from them that I can implement in my lifestyle, that can improve my lifestyle? And then you choose. For me personally, I tend to follow people that I can learn from. And majority of the time, based on what I do, it tends to be photographers, videographers, people that create, because I'm a creator as well as a bodybuilder. So from that perspective, I'm making the choice. But it's like, looking at aesthetics, it's like, that's not the problem. It's like, it's just based on you making the decision at the end of the day, whether you like what you see or you don't. So I don't think it shouldn't even be a discussion of, okay, you know, I feel some type of way because this person is posting XY content. That's up to you. Nobody asked you to follow that person.
Well, some people do actively press follow. That is how generally social media works. So they do follow them. But I think it's also worth saying that, like, absolutely, like, I agree with you. Like, you've got, if I cannot control how people feel about the content I put out there, I cannot control how you're going to respond to everything I say. That's just, as humans, we need to learn that. And I can't control for everyone to like me, because that's, I think that's a really important lesson to learn.
Can I just say one thing?
But also, but if you're consuming it, you can control what you consume off, in basically. A sense, if, yeah. Like, if it's affecting you in a negative way, I think it's only fair to say. However, I do agree that I think something that we could do more of is, I appreciate some people do need to create absolute safe spaces for them and not look at things that, you know, they may find difficult. But I also think...
Yeah, but I'm trying to understand it, because I'm baffled by why I would have to create a safe space when it's your choice. When you follow someone, it's like, if you follow a person and they make you feel bad because maybe what you're trying to go for is unachievable based on your goal, it's like, why on earth did you follow them in the first place? It's like, you can't follow
because
someone.
Maybe you've changed. Maybe you've evolved. Maybe you've grown. Maybe you just feel in a different way. And then you're more than entitled to just say, I'm going to unfollow. It's not making me feel good. On the next person. However, like, as a point I was just trying to say, is that we should... I think it's important sometimes to not get completely caught in our own echo chambers and to, you know, look outside of our echo chambers and look outside of our safe spaces if we're in the privileged position to do so and, you know, see other people's perspective. Like, I think this is a really healthy conversation to have because, you know, I follow a lot of people that think the way I think and, you know, promote the message around exercise that I promote, but I think this is really interesting to hear your perspective on it, and I think that's important. And so I think you know, like, you like these kind of discussions are very important to have if we're going to make any progress as an industry as a whole.
I
think that's really good. And I just wanted to point out, because we've chatted on a little bit since, but I wanted to point out about your point about aesthetics aesthetic of you know, how we've always had aesthetics as a thing. Yeah. And I would say, I would reframe aesthetics as beauty standards and, you know, beauty ideals, body ideals that we're set up to aim for. And particularly as women, we are very much set at, you know, we feel very much a pressure to, you know, have a certain, meet a certain beauty standard and, you know, attain a certain physique.
Why?
Because of the patriarchy, essentially. So you've got, like, if you understand the patriarchal society, which is generally headed up by white men, they're setting these standards through, like we said, through consumption of media, magazines, social media, all these things that kind of, you know, the way the kind of algorithm pushes up, you know, beautiful people on social media. We have these pressures and standards to meet. And, you know, so aesthetics have become a huge part of what fitness is, because as women we're feeling these beauty standards, but as fitness industry we've tried to monetize the solution, and therefore we see a lot of, like, sadly the fitness industry as a whole sees a lot of profit in making people feel insecure about having cellulite, about you know, not having a toned abs, and they will therefore market their products to, you know, 6 weeks a six pack or get lean and 50 things. So
I get that.
marketing is pushed towards aesthetics because that's where people are vulnerable and that's where people will spend their money to try and look like you. And
majority of the industries will do that.
Yeah, I think Lebomba, what Tally's basically saying is in essence that we, our tastes, yes, some of it does come from us internally, but there's external influence that we have consumed and that we've consumed throughout life since like before we was even able to make choice, that we've grown up in a system that's kind of like enabled or kind of pushed us towards a certain viewpoint. In essence, and then within that framework, we make our choices surrounding like, okay, do I like this or do I like that? But at the same time, that we can't ignore. I think what Tally's saying, we can't ignore the external hands that are on the system.
You need to understand that it's the natural evolution of human progression in terms of our aesthetics as a whole. That's natural progression of what we like and the taste. Again, that's based on each generation. You know, there's a very particular taste in each generation. There's a very particular style throughout the years. For each decade. However, yes, I get it, there's influences, but again, that's just completely up to you what you decide to digest and which information you decide to consume. But down to the root, you know, as a person, you need to be very confident and strong enough to understand that you like what you do. So the question at the end of the day is like, are you even happy making that decision? No one's forcing it on you. At the end of the day, you need to say yes or no. So certain aesthetics, no one's saying, okay, you know, here, you know, make sure you know, no one's forcing it down you. Yes, there's an influence, but at the end of the day, you make the decision, yes or no, to take that decision. And if you're coming from a place of confidence, strong will, it's, you know, those influences wouldn't make a difference. But as humans, natural progression, it's like, again, you know, we're heading towards something.
I think the way that the fitness industry in like the last decade, two decades, has particularly marketed fitness, though, you don't feel like you have options. And I know that certainly when I was first getting, you know, really into fitness, you know, 7-8 years ago, and I was like going online, reading the articles, reading all this stuff, like everything boiled down to exercise equals like to lose weight, to achieve a certain aesthetic. And I actually was trying to get fitter to... I wanted to be an actress and perform, and that's what I wanted to do. And I was trying to get fit for that job. But through all the kind of stuff I was consuming, it was like fitness always boiled down to like, you're doing fitness good if you, you know, can get an inch off your waist, if you can, you know, have a more defined, a bit, you know, a bigger butt or, you know, whatever the kind of beauty standard was. And so I think what the problem is despite, yes, we absolutely can make choices. I think for so many of us, it feels like there is only one choice and only one option for fitness. And that's why I'm really passionate and why I wrote my book, Train Happy, because I felt that there was no other option for people to get into fitness. It was either about losing weight and getting like abs or whatever, or you were like, or what was the point? Like to me, I was like, if I'm not doing that, why am I doing it? What's even the point? You know, as you said, like, I like food, what's the point? That looks like a whole lot of effort. And I also think this obsession with aesthetics actually alienates a lot of people from getting into exercise. Because some people are like, I don't care. Like my sister is like, she's not motivated by aesthetics. She's like, I don't care. But if I, you know, I wrote my book with the outlining the mental health benefits, the effects it has on your brain to help prevent dementia later in life, the way that it can help you reduce risk of certain cancers, the way that it can just make you feel good. You can socialize with people through fitness, whether it's like doing a class or being involved in a team or something. And so I think, sadly, we kind of miss that perspective on it, and we get kind of very like this narrow view of what fitness looks like. And if you look at like one of the biggest, you know, the biggest fitness brands and the models used on pages up until, you know, probably the last like 2 years, we were seeing a very a standard of fitness that we were trying to achieve. So the thing is like, let's give people options.
Even if you give people the option to do that, people will still be perplexed over their own decisions. So you give people these options, again, based on those options alone, someone might end up doing something a certain way, and you're going to turn around in that little small community, that small collective, people will start again curating these problems again. It's just, you know, it's bound to happen. It's, again, that's what, you know, my biggest issue is that it always stems from the person themselves. As a collective, if we can change our mindset, the things will change. But we can't put these boundaries in place or these ideal environments, because again, that's never going to happen. Nothing will ever change unless if the people change. So like, on what you, you know, based on what you're saying, again, if we give people the options, it's like, again, when you have those options, it's like, what are the, what problems are those options going to bring? And when it comes to fitness, I just want to touch base on this. For me, for what I do, when I was 16, 17, 18, coming into the fitness industry, coming into the bodybuilding world, I was told in order to build a physique, you have to be on steroids. You have to be enhanced. This was all the information, reading articles. People are like, yeah, you need to do X, Y, and Z in order to get big. However, as an individual, I did not agree with that. I did not conform to that. I took my own route, and my life is based on proving that wrong. Even to this day, my statement at some point, when I've reached my pinnacle, is to prove a point that you can do it, regardless of what X, Y, and Z told you, is very well possible. So again, if I create that community for myself, that collective of people, as a movement, we can change that. However, the problem, I completely understand, with fitness, we've drilled into people's heads that we have to do things a certain way in order to achieve this, which is a problem. Yeah. However, there's, again, the options are already there, just based on whether you have the confidence to take them. So on a daily basis, again, I get accusations, people that, you know, think that don't believe in what I do, people that think I'm lying. As a natural bodybuilder, I put that in my bio. People are like, why do you put that in your bio? There is no way your physique is attainable naturally. But I'm constantly going every day to prove a point. Again, at the beginning, I didn't know. I wasn't sure when I started. I didn't know who to rely on. I didn't know what the truth was. But I can only prove for myself, when I do achieve what I think is the pinnacle of natural bodybuilding, when I get there. But as for now, I'll keep, you know, walking the road, whether people think I, you know, whether people believe me or not. But that's on me. I make that decision. So for people, they need to make the decision whether they're happy with what they're doing. At the end of the day, I'm very happy and satisfied because I know I'm healthy. I know there's longevity to what I'm doing. And I haven't got any problems, any health issues that will pop up. So again, it always stems down to the individual. And then as a collective, we'll realize, oh shit, there's actually more to this thing.
Let me fire a quick question at you, yeah?
Yeah.
You spoke a little bit about your start. Was your initial start aesthetic? Was that your initial motivation for getting into what you, because you mentioned wanting to get bigger and wanting to...
No, it wasn't.
Was the aesthetic your... It wasn't.
It wasn't. My pure goal, the reason to get into what I did, to get into this, was to be better. So initially, before this whole fitness bodybuilding thing, I played basketball and football. I was 5'8". Mm. 5'8", you know, roughly weighing probably, let's say, 120 pounds. And I was one of the smallest but the most athletic kid. However, in order to develop the strength and power to compete with the bigger guys, I spent more time in the gym to build myself. Again, there's another statement, you know, to build myself, to improve as a person. Not for the aesthetic goals, but to perform. So from that perspective, the byproduct of that process was aesthetics. Based on my genetic potential, based on my genetic makeup of what I could look like. But someone else might look at that and be like, oh, that must be the goal in order to be that person. See what I'm saying? So
all right,
we need to break it down.
So that makes sense. But the question I'm going to ask for both back at both of you basically is this. What is wrong with somebody pursuing aesthetics and getting fitness as a byproduct?
It's not a problem.
If that's the most... Yeah, so what I'm saying is there is anything wrong with
but
that?
But at some point, you're going to be disappointed. At some point, you're going to be disappointed.
Why?
Because you realize that it's unattainable. Because that's only...
What's unattainable?
The vision you have in your head.
Yeah, exactly. But it depends on what the vision is, isn't it?
Because
the vision doesn't have to be looking like Arnold. You know what I mean?
Don't look like Arnold. Don't look at him.
Yeah. Might not be Arnold. The vision might just be, I want to have a defined chest and shoulders and maybe a little four pack. That might be the vision. All right. You see what I'm saying? That might be the vision. And that's then possible. You might just catch a little fitness, you know what I mean, on the back end.
When you get there, don't complain and say, oh my God, this is actually harder than I thought. Because that is the trade. You know, the trade of the work which you're doing. It's hard work. So at the end of the day, it's like, don't complain if it's too hard for you, because that's the cost of it. So as a person, you need to be developed enough to sustain what you're doing. So in terms of developing this mindset, you need to train yourself. Not everyone's catered to do what I do. Because it's set, you know, it takes a very disciplined lifestyle. Hence why, you know, it works hand in hand with the aesthetics. In order to maintain that, you need to live the lifestyle. You need to be like that. Nobody's forcing upon you. You make the choice on a daily basis to obtain that. So, but don't put that as the goal and complain about, oh my God, this is too hard. oh my God, I can't eat the cake. You can eat the cake. However, you don't need to be so strict with your, with whatever goal you have in mind. You know what I mean? Like,
Absolutely,
a complicated subject, but again, it's all based on the individual. At the end of the day, if you're happy doing what you're doing and you look a certain type of way, that's okay. But don't look at the person next to you that looks a little bit better than you based on your vision and say, oh, yeah, but he looks a little bit better than me. Maybe I'll start cutting. Nobody asking you to cut. Just be happy with what you have. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody's asking you to be that person. Yeah. So build your physique based on how you want to be. Live your lifestyle based on how you want to live your lifestyle. This is what we should be promoting. You know, of course, it's the byproduct. Naturally, we're going to be more inclined to look at the things that will look more aesthetically appealing. So let's not, that's no one's problem. That's just a natural human behavior. So naturally, again, this is why things will never change, because we like certain things a certain way, just based on how we like our environment to make us more comfortable.
You're triggering Tally there. You're triggering Tally. You're triggering her. She was with you up to a certain point and then you started triggering. I could see it. Tally, yeah, come in, come in.
Really interesting, because I think we do agree on some points on that. It's really interesting. And I also think, to your point, David, about training for a certain aesthetic and like wanting that, I just wonder if some people like do that and then they kind of, the goalposts change again and then you're like, oh, and then I could get a bit more and a bit more. And I think that's where people kind of end up. I think sadly people do compare themselves and they do kind of go like, oh, I'm really happy, and then they might go on, you know, go on social media and go like, oh, but mine's not good enough,
not
and
as I this
you're right, that is an individual thing, but I think that's culturally informed and socially informed.
Based on my statement that I made at the start, again, it's okay to make reference
and put things into context. So like I said, in terms of, in the world of architecture, you know, we always make reference to the past in order to build the future. So in order to make reference of your current physique, you need to understand where you've come from and where you're going. By that process alone, you should have learned something, you know, a thing or two about yourself. If you haven't, then you're just wasting your time. However, making these references will be able to give you enough knowledge and understanding of where you are and your next decision. You know, if your why, you know, if the aesthetics if your why overrides the aesthetics and what you're doing, you should be pretty content with what you're doing. And if you're not, that means something's broken.
And I think, even if we compare ourselves to others, as if we compare ourselves. So like, if we think about before and after photos, which are like commonplace within the fitness industry, that clearly shows that we have a preference for one body over the other. So regardless of whether we can say, you know, like, I've mentally transformed myself, if we're seeing a potentially like a bigger body and then a smaller body, and we're saying like, I'm much happier in this body, I think regardless of whatever,
mental,
like,
transformation.
The images are so strong that we just know that there is a preference whether we acknowledge it or not for that start, that, mental, that physique.
Mental transformation does not have a visual spectrum. Mental transformation, you can't visually see it.
Agreed. So why I don't.
So
why
therefore,
don't,
therefore, we use aesthetic. We use aesthetic as a metric.
To justify or to make a decision based on certain things. So mentally, I fully agree with you. Mental transformation is incredible, but there's no visual spectrum. And
no, but I think
is a physical change which you're able to prove based on a metric of before and after.
I love your passion in this. Lamomba, I love your passion in this, yeah? I think what Tally's basically trying to say here, yeah, is that it shouldn't be the sole only metric or standard of which people use. I know you're talking about the mental knowledge that you attain, but there's also stuff like, I guess, like, strength, like, oh man, I can lift more this week than I lifted last week. Oh, I can run faster than I could run last week. Or I can, there are a lot other things that are not given as much glory as the physical. And I think that's the area in which I think.
Okay, that is why I'm here. That is why I do what I do. Because if you do follow my content, you fully well know if I'm having a bad day. Because I'll tell you today and you'll be able to literally see if my deadlift was 100 kilograms lighter than it was last week. I'll show you. So at the end of the day, it's based on people's moral boundaries or justifying to themselves what's okay to post. So in terms of posting freedom, people just need to post what they need to post. But you need to fully understand that, okay, you might not be getting the full context of what's going on. But what I do personally, I share transparency, everything. So if last week I was doing 50 kilograms less than I did, you see it, because we understand the road to success or to this vision is up and down. However, in the long term, it's still going to continue growing. If I skip a meal, I skipped a meal yesterday. However, again, this is where it gets interesting. For me personally, if I skip a meal, I look leaner, I look sharper, I look, you know, more as if I've been dieting the following morning. Someone might look at me and be like, oh my God, this guy is so lean. How? But for me, that's not my goal. I don't want to look like that. It happened so that I missed a meal. Now I actually happen to look better than what I did yesterday, because if I get more meals in, I look a little bit bigger, a little bit fluffier. But I'm okay with that. But the person that's reading the information will assume that I'm always lean or I look lean based on those things. Mm-hmm. So it's all based on us as individuals to make the decision to, you know, to share. We have to be more transparent. Transparency is everything. That's probably why. So if we're more transparent with what we do and honest with what we do, I think as a whole, we should be, you know, on the right direction to making a change.
And I think we kind of need to be like honest as a whole and to like talk about the way, like how prevalent things like eating disorders are within certain sports like bodybuilding, yeah. And how, you know, people do suffer, you know, one in four people who may go on a diet that could result in disordered eating, if not an eating disorder. So we have to be really mindful of like, to be truthfully honest about those sorts of things. And I also wanted to say, ultimately what this all comes down to is self-objectification and objectification of people. We objectify other people's bodies we see, but we also therefore end up objectifying ourselves. And for me, and for anyone listening who has been in the kind of mindset of like, you know, trying to get a physique, doing everything they can, beating themselves up along the way, and just not feeling like they got the supposed like goal aesthetic and they actually didn't feel much better about themselves, or they found that they had to maintain a certain, for me it was like certain level of disorder to maintain that, which was just not sustainable for life.
I agree.
I think it's important to just be mindful, and look, something I really am passionate about is just saying to people like, you're more than what you look like, you are more than your body.
I really encourage
people to like put the emphasis on what they can physically do and achieve and accomplish, in terms of, you know, like you said, whether it is like increasing the weight on your deadlift. I'm all for celebrating those things. I'm all for pushing people to, you know, whether they want to try and get faster at their like 5K time.
It's not necessarily getting faster.
Those things. But
it's not necessarily getting better. Again, it's just the pure of, you know, it's just documenting the journey, both the ups and downs. It's not necessarily chasing the goal. It's not the goal. It's the mental state behind it. It's developing.
Like, I don't think you always have to, like, I always say, like, you can have goals, but you also can absolutely not have goals if you want to and just be.
That's fine.
Do whatever you want, and that's totally fine.
That's not a problem.
I think what I'm getting at is that there's an element of self-objectification and objectification here. And within that, we can get stuck in, like, we can get caught up in a lot of like body shame with that, and you know, particularly
we shouldn't.
We shouldn't, but we do.
We shouldn't. I agree.
Yeah.
One thing that I really agree with you in terms of what you said about the patriarchy. Okay, in terms of the top guy, you know, the top guy in ASA who owns any media distribution agency, magazine, or online platform. You know, that person needs to be neutral enough in order to deliver different types of content. For example, okay, let's say in the women's fitness world, I completely understand, okay, we might be pushing more towards an aesthetic physique from preference in terms of where I see the issue based on what you said, the patriarchy thing. It's, from my perspective, I think everything is okay. I have no problem with a very athletic girl.
Right. Hear me. I thought you were going to say no problem with the patriarchy.
Oh, no, sorry. I've got a problem with that.
I've got no problem with the patriarchy.
Okay.
I'm like, cool.
No,
you're a guy.
I appreciate to see a girl that has attained a physique through her ability. Say if she's a swimmer, she's going to look a certain way. That being said, it's completely okay for a woman to be a woman based on how she looks and how she feels. I mean, for me, I never, you know, in terms of like digesting the information that I see on social media, I think it's completely okay for women to be the way they are with no limitations. Personally, my personal preference as a woman, I'm not asking you to be shredded. Personally, that's not my personal preference. I wouldn't go for a woman that's like diced to the socks. Like, aesthetic, like, for me, that doesn't do it. So I get it. In terms of the patriarchy, the person that's making the decision, they should definitely get, we should get rid of that. I agree. In terms of magazines, what we promote, we should get rid of that. Because I guarantee majority of the men that could be watching this, it's like, in terms of our preferences for men, we prefer a wide spectrum of women, from being skinny to thick. or again, in terms of where the trend is going now, like you said, women with bigger bums, that's what everyone's going for. But, you know, 500 years ago, that was completely normal for a woman to be slightly bigger, slightly thicker, and that was okay. Whereas now, especially 10 years ago, the image shifted to be, you know, slightly slimmer. So that's only based on what the person at the top is making, you know, based on the decision of what we can consume from the media. So yeah, the media needs to change. The vehicle which will we deliver these things needs to change. As a whole, as people, we need to portray what we prefer. But social media is the perfect platform to do that, because we're seeing a diverse shapes, people from all backgrounds in all different environments. So I very much agree with what you're saying, but the underlying issue is that let's not create a let's not start putting a mindset into people that it's okay to have issues, you know, based on what other people look like, because that within itself is only based on the individual. So we can't look at someone else and be like, oh, okay, I can attain this, therefore that's an issue, because it's not an issue, the issue is you.
Like, I really appreciate what you said, and I'm probably going to lose a lot of friends by saying this, but actually just suggesting that your preference on what a woman looks like, whether she's thin or thick, that in and of itself is a patriarchal view of beauty, because in a feminist approach, we don't care what you think. That's irrelevant to how I get to show up in the world, and that's irrelevant to how women get to show up in the world, because we're not, the thing is, it's to do with the male gaze, and sadly a lot of fitness has been the lens of the male gaze, and whether that's from a female perspective and a male perspective, because women can, we can internalize that as well, we generally are looking
to do that. Where do we draw the line?
I
should not like a certain thing.
You can like whatever you want, but you don't need to tell people that. Like,
I'm not telling anyone.
You can have a preference, but I'm just saying, like, it's you can have your personal preferences the way that I have my personal preferences. But what I'm saying is, like, as a woman, that's irrelevant to the way I can show up. Like, I don't need to, regardless of whether someone's like, oh, I like girls, you know, thick, I like girls thin, like, as women, we get to show up however we want. Should be irrelevant, but sadly, due to the way that women feel,
I agree to others
that feel that pressure.
It sounds silly. Yeah, but it sounds silly. But at the end of the day, it's like, what's your favorite color?
My favorite color, if I'm honest.
So you don't have a favorite color, but what do you prefer in terms of? Okay, do you prefer coffee or tea?
I don't like either.
Okay, sweet or sour? Sweet or sour? Again, going back to the questionnaire.
Me liking sweet food is not informed by the patriarchy, so that's irrelevant. It's not.
My taste of what I like is not, you know, is not dictated by what the patriarchy is saying.
Like, once again, it's massively informed by what I say. But that's an irrelevant point.
It's not. That's what I don't understand.
Make that point, because I think that's important to just discuss, like, that that male gaze within this conversation. But I think ultimately, where we come back to putting emphasis on to stop the cycle of self-objectification, and something I always say, and something I really want people to hear, is a phrase by it's a non-profit organization in America, run by two sisters actually, called Lindsay and Lexi Kite. It's called Beauty Redefined, and they have a phrase that says, your body is an instrument to be used, not an ornament to be looked at. And for me personally, in healing my body image, in getting to a good place where I don't need to rely on other people's view on whether I'm attractive or not, and I don't need to present myself in a certain way, I just get to be in my body how I want to be in my body, that phrase was so key for me, and I know it's so powerful for so many people in overcoming this pressure to achieve a certain aesthetic.
In bodybuilding, we use aesthetics to make reference of what we should be working towards, not what we should look like. In bodybuilding, aesthetics is a byproduct of what's been achieved through the advancement of nutrition, the advancement of training. So as humans, how can we judge advancement of our well-being and living? We don't need to create an external structure. So my issue comes in when we try to create an external structure to justify our own insecurities and problems. Let's not be naive and think everything is okay, no one has insecurities, because we all have insecurities. But let's not use that as a driving force to justify why something's wrong for another person or why the things are happening the way they are. I agree with what you said about the patriarchy. Yeah, it's wrong to be promoting, you know, all these beautiful women and men and show more of a diverse scope of people, which is right, which is correct. And that's what we should be doing.
I'm going to ask you very quickly, each of you, for a quick piece of influence and advice. What would you advise to our listeners? I think you touched on it briefly, Tally.
I think my biggest piece of advice would be, and the kind of opening line of my book is, how would you move your body if it didn't impact your weight or aesthetics? How would you choose to move your body? And start from there in terms of discovering what you enjoy doing, and, you know, think broad and wide about different ways to move your body. I talk about in my book things from like rugby to mountain climbing to pole dancing to to strongman training. There are so many different ways to move your body, and ultimately I'm just interested in encouraging people to have a positive relationship to exercise that they can enjoy, you know, for the long term, and to feel good about themselves in the process. So yeah, just think outside the box and find the movement that works for you.
Sweet, the bummer.
So for all the viewers out there, in terms of being happy with yourself, do things based on what makes you happy, and something that's going to increase the longevity of what you're doing. Make sure it's sustainable, and if it's very fulfilling, by all means stick with that thing, because it's what's going to keep you sane and happy. And really, do not compare yourself to other people. And if you happen to appreciate something that's beyond your capabilities, do not look at that as a flaw. Learn from it and see what you can learn from that person, and implement that into your lifestyle, because potentially that might improve what you're trying to achieve. But always be open to learn from other people and just look forward and be happy with what you're doing, and I'm pretty sure it will work out.
Thank you so much. We've just got a couple of questions from our listeners to you both. If you could never go to the gym again, which sport would you take up, if any?
BMXing.
Yeah. Yes. All right. I like that. Thrill seeker. Has Tally made you reconsider at all how you think about your training or body image?
To a degree, yes. I'm more aware of how everyone else thinks, but based on what I do know.
Okay.
Because I mean, majority of things that she's where the message stems from, I do agree with. So fundamentally, I feel like, you know, low key, we are talking about the same thing, but just in different context.
Absolutely. And Tally, a couple for you. Has it been easy transitioning to intuitive eating and movement?
To be honest, it's the best thing I ever did, and I think kind of both of those things are frameworks. One is, intuitive eating is a framework of 10 principles created by dietitians in how to have a good relationship with food. And intuitive movement is something that I've written about within my book and kind of taken those principles and applied them to both to fitness. And both of those things are the best things I did, because the way I was going and the approach and mindset to which I had towards food and exercise was not sustainable. It was making me a very antisocial person, making me a very anxious person, and making me constantly pick apart myself in the mirror. So doing those things has really helped me find peace with food. I'm able to go out to eat and not worry about it, and enjoy all foods without the fear of certain foods that, you know, I had deemed bad in the past. And similarly with fitness, I've really enjoyed it, because it's made me think outside literally the gym, the box of the gym. I was such a regular gym goer that just doing different things has been really fun to do. And like learning the new skill of swimming at the end of last year has been so good. And actually I got in the pool for the first time since lockdown yesterday, and I hadn't forgotten what I was doing, and I had the best time, and I felt really proud of myself that I'd like learned a new skill. I'd love to say, and something which I discussed on my own podcast recently with the guest Evelyn Tribbley, is how becoming more intuitive in food and fitness has just made me have a better sense of like agency and a greater sense of like who I am as a person. And I think, you know, this has all been happening like through my 20s, I'm nearly 30. And as I get towards that, I kind of definitely know myself a lot better, know who I am. I've grown a lot as a person. Like it's kind of opened the doors for me to grow so much. And, you know, that has meant, you know, not being bothered about what I look like and everything like that has meant that I can do things like write a book. Like I never had the headspace when I was obsessed with macros to think about anything other than, oh, my training and exercise. Whereas now I have this whole thing, I got to write a book, which is mind blowing to me because I never anticipated that I would be doing that. So yeah, it's been huge.
Huge, huge, massive thank you to our two guests, Tally and Abomba, who's given us some incredible insight, a lot of passion as well in their thoughts about this topic. So please, guys, keep the conversation going via social media using the hashtag The Scoop. Get involved in the comments as well. And don't worry, we'll be back again soon for another episode. I've been David Alorca. You've been watching The Scoop. Thanks for listening.